You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe
Dude.
And Greg Bach.
Dude!
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is great to be with you on this gorgeous night in the season we like to call spring here in Wisconsin. Just an absolutely beautiful night and the perfect night to sit inside and gather the whole family around the radio and let us entertain you. Prepare to be dazzled, folks. Am I setting the bar too high, Greg?
I'm already dazzled. I'm dazzled and I've been working on the program. So it's like when you can dazzle me, I feel like it's just easy out there for those folks. They're already dazzled. You can feel it. The energy's out there.
I'm dazzled
too. Icing on the cake.
I'm dazzled too.
Yeah. Dom's dazzled. Greg's dazzled. I'm dazzled. It is great to have you here. I am Pete Schwabe, sitting just north in the state of my co-host Greg Bach, and we are both along Lake Michigan. Dom is in Madison, Wisconsin. We make up the Otter Hay Triangle. How are you guys tonight? How's it going?
Not doing too bad. Yeah. It's a beautiful day in Madison. It's a beautiful day in the state of Wisconsin for the most part. I love it.
Like the weather.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm doing well as well. Hung out with my dog today. That was very, very nice. Work done around the house. And now I'm here with everyone here. And Daniel on the live stream already. Hello, Thursday. Hello, chat. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-SIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And I'm having a peachy day. It was nice to not have ominous clouds in the air and warnings. Like last night,
warnings.
I think we heard tornado sirens in the county, like Racine County. They were far away, but they were still happening. And so, you know, today just feels like it feels nice, even though. And we talked about this earlier. There are flood warnings across the state right now.
Right.
And please check the National Weather Service to find out. There are a lot of counties that are part of this list. There's a lot of flooding last night, but please be aware of that. Check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes so you can find out, but you can also always go to civicmedia.us for weather information. But please, if you're in an area that's being affected by the flooding or getting a flood warning, take heed, be safe, and, take care of yourselves. That's all we want. Make sure you guys are safe and good to go.
And, you know, if worst comes to worst, put on a nice pair of flood pants. Don't underestimate the value of flood pants. We've got Tony. See what I do, Greg? When I say a clunker, I just keep talking before I can acknowledge there really wasn't much laughter.
Excuse me, but we're both laughing at what you just did. That does not qualify as a clunker.
Reluctant laughter.
If you said like, you're just wanting to bring up what happened yesterday. If you would have said something about, flood pants, and then neither one of us would have reacted, then yes, you have a leg to stand on. But you said that thing, and we're like, ah, ha, 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 ha. We chuckled.
All right, fair enough. I don't want to get into semantics. Tony Zimmerman, Tony on the live stream says, I'd recommend listening with a gas fireplace going as well. That works, Tony. Whatever kind of fire you have at home, it's outstanding. And Tony says that really sets the mood. And I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a great show, folks, tonight. My day was weird because I was doing all this research, writing these scripts for a different project. And I feel like we overuse the word weaponize.
What do you mean?
One of the filmmakers was described as he weaponizes his creativity. Yeah, and I'm like, what? Enough with the weaponize. It's just.
I don't like that. Elsa doesn't make sense. I don't either.
You hear it all the time. It's like you're trying to say, well, I'm going to weaponize my ability to procrastinate. It just does nothing. It makes no sense.
That doesn't mean he weaponizes creativity to do what? Make weapons? I don't understand. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think there are a lot of words out there that we now use as And also, to me, using the word weaponize can also be very serious. And when we say it all the time, then it loses its overall effect. And there are a ton of words in the English language we do that to. And it just happens all the time. And gosh, now I bet you now, between now and let's say tomorrow night's show, I'm going to hear someone use the term weaponize at least twice in that regard. I'm like, oh, peach wabba.
I'm going to weaponize my fashion sense and put on some flood pants.
I'm going to weaponize my gun and
yeah, right. That's appropriate. Oh,
darn.
Its own inappropriateness. So we agree on that. Hey, Greg, we've got some winners. And we've been reading all week, the last week and a half, I would say, about this great contest we've had with Milwaukee Film and giving away tickets to the Milwaukee Film Festival. And our all-access winner, should we tell the people who won? I think we need to recognize these people. I've got the list here, but you did most of the reading.
I'll say you go for it because I just realized I deleted that email. And oh, there we go. I got it now, but go ahead.
Okay.
Let's read some of the grand winners, the amazing winners from the text to win contest we had last week and this week. All right, go ahead.
And it's great too. Here, I'll read the people who won daily, and then you read the all access winner because I think that was, we had some really, what I love about this is regular texters, like very loyal listeners. Annie from Watertown. Was a winner. Julia from Madison.
Yes.
Dave from DeForest. Dave texts us on the text line and on the stream, which I love.
Fantastic.
Edward from Madison and our pal Brett from Brown Deer. And then we have an all access winner, and that's exciting.
Congratulations to Joel from Milwaukee, who won the all-access pass starting tonight for the Milwaukee Film Festival 2026. Enjoy all those who won. Enjoy the movies you went to. And here's the thing. Don't take pictures during the movie, but take pictures like at the marquee or with people at the, you know, I want to see what you guys are up to. And then you can text those pictures in via the Civic Media app.
Right.
Download that app. And you can text in those pictures. I want to see the fun you're having at the Milwaukee Film Festival. Let us know the movies you're going to go see. And folks, if you didn't win and you're going to the festival, still let us know what you're going to be up to. We'd love to know the films you're checking out while you're out there.
Yeah,
so congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, it's fun when you see, and maybe everyone there can, maybe they'll all become friends. Wouldn't that be fun?
I would love
the Winners
that.
Club.
Oh my gosh.
They could weaponize their winning ways.
That one didn't count because Pete said it.
Tony on the live stream says, are we weaponizing the word weaponize? I think that's without question.
No, we're just ruining it.
You guys are here on a great night. We've got outstanding things planned here for your joining us tonight. wow, that was brutal. In just a few minutes, we'll have Michael Negron on. He is a senior fellow for the Economic Opportunity at the Center for American Progress and former special assistant to the president for economic policy. So he knows more about the economy than I do, Greg. That's what I'm hearing from his.
There you go. All right. Well, it's good to know your limitations. It's good to understand when we all need to learn something, as I will be learning as well. We're going to be talking about tariffs, and that's going to be, they didn't go away.
I'm going to weaponize my disinformation.
Okay. Done with that word. All right.
Oh, dude, now that you said that, you have no idea how much I can beat that into the ground. Do not challenge me, Greg Bach.
Okay.
I'm going to start a counter. I'm going to start a counter throughout the show how many times you said it.
Also Nightlight Movie Club. So let's tell the people about that, Greg. We got big things planned. It's going to be a fun night.
We are checking. Well, we've already watched the classic Rob Reiner film, When Harry Met Sally. Some would say the Die Hard of rom-coms, where it brought it back to life and inspired decades of all these movies that we've been watching for the past, almost 40 years. The movie's like 30-something. Okay, the point is we're going to be talking about that during the movie club. We're going to talk about some great trivia, talk about how the movie was made. I mean, in my opinion, the people behind the scenes are stars, in my humble opinion. But then we'll be talking about our thoughts on the movie, what made us laugh, what we liked, what we didn't like. And if you have an opinion, please drop comments in the live stream, drop comments on the text line. We'd love to hear from you. This is a classic film, and I can't wait to talk about this because, I mean, it is just a fun movie to watch. So, yeah, that'll be coming up in the second hour. And also in the second hour, we're going to talk deeper on tonight's question. Should we get into the question there, Pete?
Yeah, let's do the question of the night, Dom.
Great.
Greg, why don't you share the question of the night?
Today is National Eggs Benedict Day. So we want to know, what is your favorite Eggs Benedict?
How do you like your eggs?
How do you like your eggs? How do you like? Do you like? Do you like them Benedict? Do you like them? Do you like them poached? Do you like them salmoned? Do you like them over easy? Do you like them weaponized? How do you like your eggs?
You beat me to it. See, there you go.
that's called a callback in our industry.
Do you like them with no Benedict whatsoever? How do you like your eggs? That's a question. Scrambled. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to get it out there right now.
All right, great. So, excellent.
We can, but text us in, folks, at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know how you like your eggs. You can also text us on the app or the stream on if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and X Twitter. So let us know how you like your eggs. It is National Eggs Benedict Day. We got to celebrate that. I think we have some stories, though, that we need to get to.
Right? Yes, we do. We absolutely do. Yes.
Let's weaponize them.
All right, Pete.
Yeah, we've got. Yeah. Were you saying that for me to introduce the story?
If you want, if you'd like to introduce this story, that's. Yeah.
We've talked our fair share about the war, Greg. I would say it's by and large, the public opinion does not think it's going well. Over 60% of the people oppose it.
Yeah.
But those in Congress apparently are voting in favor to keep it going and not stop it for the time being by a vote of in the House of 214 to 213. This was from NBC News. And almost down party lines, too. I mean, yes. I think there was one person from each party that jumped ship, but this is going to go on. What's so weird, Greg, is what does that even mean? Would that end the war if Congress said, hey, now, wait a minute. Like, the president didn't even get congressional approval to start this war. So what does this vote even mean?
Well, as far as I know, he doesn't have to get approval in the moment if there is a clear and present threat to the country, which there wasn't from Iran. But I don't expect him to listen to anything. I mean, this was the House failing to put guardrails on him. Thomas Massie, a vocal critic of Donald Trump, a Republican from Kentucky, who is like the guy in charge of saying release the Epstein files, voted to put guardrails on versus Jared Golden of Maine, who voted against this measure. And I love it when this happens. Warren Davidson of Ohio, he's a Republican, just said, I'm present. I'm here. Great. Good contribution there, War. But what's funny is that just yesterday, the Senate also failed to do the same thing for the fourth time, with Rand Paul voting against Donald Trump and, wait for it, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania voting for him, because John Fetterman is a weirdo who, in my opinion, lied when he ran for office. But yeah, I mean, if they could vote all they want till they're blue in the face, and I don't think he's going to listen. I don't think anyone's going to. You think Pete Hegseth is going to listen to Congress?
Right.
Please.
And you got Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who sided with Trump. He's very religious, sided with Trump over the Pope, and said, you know, the Pope should not go into political waters. And I'm like, well, President Trump already said he's weak on crime, so he has no crime policy. They brought him into this.
The Pope just said, give peace a chance. Like,
yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, I didn't expect anything from the House. I don't expect anything from the Senate, and I don't expect Donald Trump or his cronies to listen. So this is not surprising at all, because they're cowards.
Agreed. We are coming right back after this short break. We're going to talk a little bit of sports in our big three things. It's Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I feel like sometimes my voice tries to match the music Dom picks, and then I just, you know, I'm very influenced.
I've done the same thing, too, from time to time. I'm like, welcome back to the show. Civic Media.
And you know what, Dom is doing there? He's weaponizing the intro outro music.
Really?
To get it to his advantage.
See, Dom, I could hear that. That was bemoaning. That was like, oh, what am I getting into right now?
You're at 4 for weaponizing Pete. 4. I'm writing it down.
Only 4?
4,
feels
yes.
Like 10, right, Greg?
Feels like an eternity is what it feels like. Good God.
Maybe that's going to become our third story by the time I'm done. let's get back to our big three stories. One of my least favorite justices, I'm just going to come clean, Clarence Thomas. I mm-hmm. have nightmares about how he was confirmed and who he replaced, Thurgood Marshall. And he said on Wednesday on TV that he kind of just took a swipe at progressivism and said it's a political philosophy that is described as an existential threat to America, Greg, and the principles that founded it. Yeah, it's free school lunch and not letting kids read Bridge to Terabithia that's ruining America. Not pedophilia, frivolous wars, or trying to overturn elections for that matter. What is he talking about?
Well, we wouldn't know that, Pete, because in this Yahoo News story, it says right here, Thomas, the Supreme Court's senior conservative member spoke broadly, not referencing specific contemporary events or political figures to make his case. So really, he's just your uncle sending you that email that says forward dash, forward dash,
right.
Forward dash, forward dash. Obama is a Muslim and his wife is a man. Forward dash. He's
right.
All he is a useful idiot to Trump. He is a puppet. He is nothing. And by the way, can I just say something too on the side here? His whole bloviating about the values of America and why we need to uphold, you know, what the framers had in mind. Well, I don't think the framers also said like, hey, you know what? Maybe our Supreme Court justices can get full blown worldwide trips financed from these billionaires out there and having houses paid for my mom. Don't come to me with your ideas of what American values are. You are a corrupt piece of nothing to me. And I despise this man.
Oh, you seem like you're coming around on him.
His wife wanted to help orchestrate the overthrowing of our elections in 2020.
That's right.
The text messages are there. His wife is absolutely a part of the problem too. So as a couple, they suck.
Right. And at least we had Merrick Garland on our side. Okay. So to pursue
Boy, such things. You're really digging in on that guy, too.
All of a sudden, you know, too, I love when it's convenient that we say, well, the values of the founding fathers. Oh, the slave owners? Like, have we not evolved at all in 250 years? I don't think we have to go back to them to quote or to find morality. It's just kind of silly.
I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And honestly, like to me, all he's doing is covering up with using those words. It's very, very just poisonous rhetoric that now he just sounds like one of them. At a time when I felt like, you know, you could listen to someone like a Scalia, Antonin Scalia, and despise everything he stood for. But when he spoke on the principles of this country, and if you watch it, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Scalia sitting together in a forum talking about the importance of upholding the Constitution, the importance of the processes at hand, everything that they're doing now to take it apart, like those justices stood for. And this guy is just nothing more than, as I said, a puppet. He's nothing. He is a corrupt guy with a lifetime job who I cannot stand. Sorry. I'm back.
You just did. That was a good blow drying. Like you, I am like literally
Excuse
like
me?
That was a beautiful rant. Don't you ever hear that? Like, oh man, I
know
drug that. Like you, yeah,
nope, ranting. Never ever. Hey Tom, you ever heard anyone use that term for that ever in your life?
Nah, I have not. Not at all.
All right. Greg, you used to cut hair. You don't know the blow drying?
I know what a blow dryer is, and I know how to use a blow dryer, but I've never in my life used the term blow dry or blow drying as a way of saying I have spoken a lot. Ever.
Well, I didn't mean to weaponize the phrase. Okay, let's get to our third big story. This is interesting. Tammy Baldwin throwing herself into the world of sports, and by doing so, making herself, aligning herself with the people, really, because sports is getting so ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. I saw this, I think, on Yahoo, but... She's going to introduce something that would bring down the costs of sports on TV because it's getting too It's called the For the Fans Act. It's getting too expensive and people are canceling subscriptions. Here's the weird thing, Greg. It seems like when people cancel subscriptions because something is too expensive, that should bring prices down, but it's not. Other people are just footing the bill and they're raising the prices for those who can afford it. And I, to me, it's like, I used to get DirecTV and all that. I'm just like, part of me is I'm not that into sports anymore. I am. Mm-hmm. I'm still a huge fan, but I'm not going to overpay and be played for a sucker.
And same here, is I love baseball and I would love to watch the Brewers. And I know that they have that Brewers.tv deal, but I remember the first day, the opening day this year, someone saying, well, you can't watch it. You have to watch it on Chicago sports channels. And I don't understand that. And the way it really was described in this article here, it used this example of, you know, one of the problems is when the Packers took on the Bears in Wisconsin, people in Green Bay and Milwaukee could watch the game. They could watch it on the local market for at a free outlet, but there are five other media markets in Wisconsin, and all of those were blacked out. So her, like, part of the plan, and we want to have someone on to talk about this so we can like understand it deeper, because this will affect, as it says in the article, this is going to affect, let's see here, it will affect the NFL, NLB, NHL, NBA, WNBA, MLS, NWSL. So there will be a lot at stake. So what I'd like to have is someone come on and really explain it, but good on Tammy Baldwin. This has been going on for a while, and we just want to make sports easier to watch. And people can still make money. People can still make money. That's the best part.
They just don't have to gouge.
And by the way, Tony on the live stream says, grow the mustache back, Pete.
I'll think about it. Okay. Thanks, Tony. I'll grow the mustache back while I sit by the fire. The gas fireplace, Tony. We are coming right back, folks. We're going to break for the news. And then when we come back, former special assistant to the president for economic policy, Michael Negron, will tell us about tariffs. It's Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Welcome back. Oh, we are having fun tonight, folks. And we are so glad you're here. It's a Thursday night here at Nightlight. And we are doing the Nightlight Movie Club in hour number two. And tonight's movie is When Harry Met Sally. So get your Harry Met Sally trivia ready or knowledge and be part of the fun as we break down the movie and discuss this classic rom-com in hour number two. Our question of the night is, how do you like your eggs in honor of National Eggs Benedict Day? We've got a variety of answers so far and probably some I haven't even thought of. So be part of the fun there and share with us how you like your eggs and we will do the same. And that's a reason enough to tune in. Right now, it is my pleasure. Our next guest is a senior fellow for economic opportunity at the Center for American Progress and a former special assistant to the president for economic policy. It is our pleasure to welcome our first and only guest of the night, Michael Negron. Hi, Michael.
Happy to be on. And I like my eggs scrambled.
Boom. Yes. Love it. I'm going to write that down. Scrambled.
I have to say, that's kind of the only way I can eat them. Unless they're like,
that's the same with my friend. She's like, I can eat eggs only scramble. I'm like, I need to understand why, but that's not for right now to talk about.
Well,
those are deeper scientific discussions.
We could put a tariff on these questions and ruin everything.
Kaboom. Kaboom.
Michael, it's great to have you here. Let's jump in, but you know, for those listening who might be like me, I do not totally understand how tariffs work. So if you could just sort of explain that, and then in your opinion, what kind of effect on the economy is the president hoping they have?
Yeah, well, look, tariffs are basically a tax. They're kind of like a toll. Tariffs are a tax that a business, an individual, whoever it is, that is trying to bring in a product from another country into the United States, it's something they're required to pay at the port of entry. It's basically just that. Now, historically, for quite some time prior to this administration, we had a fairly limited set of tariffs in place. The first Trump administration amped up the tariffs on China. The Biden administration, we largely kept those in place. But for most countries, there weren't really, the tariffs are fairly limited. We had this, you know, steel and aluminum tariffs that the first Trump administration put into place that maintained, that stayed in effect through the Biden administration. But for the most part, it wasn't a big issue that if you were a business importing a product that you had to be thinking about, you know, which country is it coming from? Do I need to count how much one material is in it versus another? And then Trump imposed this broad and sweeping set of country by country tariffs. That just ushered in a whole new regime where just beyond having businesses pay these additional taxes that they then in turn pass on to consumers for the most part. I mean, there have been a number of studies that show that the vast majority of these taxes end up getting borne by the consumers. But it's also the case that if you're a business, you got to do a lot more paperwork now. And there has also just been a bit of uncertainty. You know, Erica York of the Tax Foundation did an analysis and found that the Trump administration had changed tariffs more than 50 times since launching them. And we now have a situation where the Supreme Court struck down that first big regime of tariffs that Trump put into place. So his administration used a different authority to put in place a 10% across the board tariff that's going to be in effect until about mid-July. And then Congress either has to extend them or they have to go away. And what the president has said is that, well, my team is going to find other authorities to make all of these tariffs permanent. So if you're a business right now and you're trying to plan for summer, for back to school, for Halloween, for the holidays, whatever your specialty is or whatever your hot seasons are, there's a lot of uncertainty about it. If you're buying a lot of products from overseas, it's not clear what you're going to be paying in July, August, September. And so that just creates a lot of anxiety and the overall effect on the economy besides just raising prices. And there was a study from Albert Cavallo and some other economists at the Harvard Business School that found, the Trump tariffs had boosted inflation by about 0.7%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's when you're talking about the difference between 2.3 and 3% inflation, that's pretty big. And it also just kind of slows the economy down. The job market has slowed down. And so when you look at April of 2025, it's a real dividing line in a lot of things. Like you can look at what the job market looked like, what inflation looked like pre-April and post-April, and it's a major difference. And so this kind of a self-own on the part of the president for a man who was elected to lower prices and get the economy moving.
And something you just said there that really interests me, because like in all of your experience, whether working within the White House or outside of the White House, you know, we've seen presidents, we've seen tariffs being invoked, we've seen them being put on, you know, various products or countries or whatnot. But what we don't see is the uncertainty of, I'm going to tariff this country 25%. Well, now I'm not going to tariff them. I'm going to tariff them 100%. Well, now I'm not going to do anything at all. And then next week it's 30%. That sort of instability in and of itself has its own repercussions. And we saw that early on with the stock market. But from your opinion, what is your opinion on that? Like, do we get used to that, or the fact that we just don't usually see that with a president being so incapable of making a decision and sticking to it for a long amount of time that it can't help the country and its growth, right?
Exactly right. The uncertainty is beyond the costs, the actual cost of paying those taxes. The uncertainty is a big problem. And as you pointed out, particularly last year, those numbers often changed and they'd seem to change on a whim. Someone would do something he didn't like and he'd threaten some massive regime of tariffs and then he would back off. It was kind of like watching my son play Roblox. He'd get with his friends, like he'd get really angry and he'd be cursing a friend out. And then the next day it's like nothing ever happened. And you know, sometimes like we see Trump, he threatens massive tariffs on he just did it a couple of days ago. He was unhappy with China and its participation in the Iran conflict. And he threatened to double their tariffs or something. And then this morning, I think I was reading in the paper that he is now insisting that China has promised to not send any weapons to Iran. And so that is not something that if you're just reading the newspaper and it doesn't matter to you, it might actually be amusing. But if you are a business, if you're a toy store in a neighborhood that gets most of your products from overseas, you're a retailer that gets products from overseas, you read this and it's very alarming. And so think about if you are, and I've heard this just in the line of my work, businesses who prior to the tariffs, things were going well, they were thinking about expanding, adding facilities. There was a business owner that I talked to a few months ago, and I cited them in a piece that I wrote around Christmas, where they had planned to build a warehouse that was going to save them a ton of money because they wouldn't have to rent out warehouse space. It was going to be a big deal for them. And they just decided not to make that investment because they just weren't confident. And so if you replicate that across the economy, I think that's a big reason we have gone from in the first quarter of 2025, about 120,000 jobs created a month. And then you look at April and beyond of 2025, and it was basically net zero. That's how we ended up having only 181,000 jobs created in 2025, which is the worst year for job creation outside of a recession since 2003. And so it just really makes people pump the brakes. They pump the brakes on hiring, they pump the brakes on investing. And I think that's why you're seeing this kind of low hire, low fire economy. Investments are not being made other than by AI, who are, you know, virtually all the investments happening in this country are in support of AI. But when you look at the real economy, it's really been slowed. And so I think that's where the uncertainty really plays out. And again, that's on top of people just paying more because of the tariffs. But when you don't know what you're going to be paying in a few months, that just makes it even worse.
Our guest is Michael Negron. He is a senior fellow for economic opportunity at the Center for American Progress and a former special assistant to President Biden for economic policy. He joins us now over the stream. We're talking tariffs. Michael, I admit, when the first talk of tariffs started in early 2025, I got really freaked out. Like, you know, everyone was sounding the panic button, pardon me. And to hear you talk, they should be. But what do you say to people who say that tariffs haven't really affected their lives yet? And I don't even know that they've affected mine. They probably have in ways I don't know. But when, what do you say to those people? And then when can we expect it to get really bad if this persists?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. First, right at the beginning, there were a number of predictions of major economic catastrophe that I don't think bore out. And part of the reason is that the president ultimately backed off a bit. He came in really hot on the tariffs and then backed off in a number of ways and made exceptions. For example, they came in initially intending to apply the tariffs on China on all Apple equipment. And then, you know, the CEO of Apple reportedly went around the White House and got some exceptions. And so they backed off in a way that the tariffs went from being terrible to merely horrible. And what we saw was just inflation has been elevated. And you know, I think people are seeing it. You may not think that if you thought it was going to be, you know, a doubling of prices, that, well, no, that's not it. But people are paying hundreds more than they would not have been paying because of the tariffs. The Senate Joint Economic Committee did a study that found that in the president's first year in office, the typical household paid about $1,700 in tariffs. That's more than 1,000 more than they would have paid. I have a colleague at CAP who just did an analysis. His name is Jared Bertstein. He was the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors for Biden. He did a hypothetical, what would have been the economy? What would have been the state of the economy, but for the president's tariff policies? And he found that we would have grown a full percent faster. And inflation would be about a half point lower. And so, you know, some of this is the president promised to bring costs down and promised to stabilize the economy. And people are more unhappy now than they were under Biden. We just hit in the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, just fell to the lowest it's ever been, 70 years, lower than it's ever been. And you know, maybe that's a brief decline due to the Iran war and it'll jump back up. But it's been pretty persistently low. Polls show that people just aren't happy. And so I think we are seeing the impacts. We are seeing it in an economy that just kind of seems stuck in the mud, costs that seem persistently high. And then we have this war that has been underway for 6-7 weeks, and it's causing energy prices to really shoot up. And the impact of those prices, of the rising costs of gasoline, of diesel, of fertilizer, of jet fuel, that will make its way throughout the entire economy. And we may be in store for an actual 70s style rebound in inflation, where we head back up to 4%, 5%. And then that, I think that will really get people down on the economy.
That is the voice of Michael Negron. He was a economic advisor, former special assistant to the president for economic policy. He's talking tariffs with us here at Nightlight. We will have more with Michael after a very short break. Dave on the stream says, hard-boiled, scrambled, and omelet. That's how he likes his eggs. Those there are all go. Great.
What I like is that people sent in like full paragraph descriptions of their egg choices. So like I'm sitting here going, I like over easy. Other people are like, hey, let me give you a recipe card. Here you go. Right. Don't mess it up.
Isn't an omelet kind of scramble?
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah.
What did you say, Michael? Sorry.
I said, isn't an omelet just another version of a scrambled egg?
Yeah.
It's like it's like a sneaky.
It's like Picasso when after, you know, it's cubist. I don't know. It's still delicious. I'll eat it. I don't care.
I call it a covert scramble, but that's me. Tony Zimmerman says, feel free to ignore my comments. Never, Tony. All right. We are coming right back after this very short break with our guest, Michael Negronitz, and Greg and Pete and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with us, folks, on this beautiful Thursday night here in the state of Wisconsin. Nightlight Movie Club happens after the news at the top of the hour and after we read some of your texts to our question of the night, which is in honor of National Eggs Benedict Day. How do you like your eggs? We are talking about the movie When Harry Met Sally in the second hour. We'll do a deep dive into that. That should be fun. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with our current guest, Michael Negron. He is a senior fellow for economic opportunity at the Center for American Progress, and he is answering, very patiently answering our questions about tariffs because I feel like I have an extremely rudimentary or basic understanding of them. Michael, a recent Wall Street Journal article claimed that the Trump administration is ready to start accepting claims for refunds of tariffs after the recent Supreme Court decision went against tariffs. Will those refunds actually happen? And how much are we talking here that will be paid back to these people? What is that going to do to the economy?
Well, they are obligated to give refunds. The Supreme Court ruled that the authority that the president used for these tariffs, which had never been used this way before, it's a law called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act that historically has just been used when the United States is in a conflict with somebody and imposes sanctions. So picture we're at war with a country or we're having issues with a country and for national security reasons we impose sanctions. He used that law to justify all of these tariffs and the Supreme Court said it was illegal. And so those tariffs should never have been in effect. So more than I think it's around $200 billion in tariffs were collected under that authority, and they are obligated to pay them back. And so what the administration announced was they were putting up this portal where businesses can apply to get that reimbursement. But it my understanding is that will cover about two-thirds of the tariffs that have been paid. They've said that there are some there's some tariffs that they think are not eligible because too much time has elapsed. And so that could be the subject of lawsuits, and we could see that play out. But for the other two-thirds, they have committed to, I think, review for several weeks, or it'll take a month or two to make decisions. And so that represents some recognition of the Supreme Court's decision. Now, a number of the folks who sued the administration and other observers have said, hey, the government already has this information. Why are you making people apply for it? You should just refund these tariffs automatically by making people apply. You're making people jump through hoops, and there will be folks who just don't get it together in time or don't have the records or what have you to do it. And so it's good, I guess, that they have recognized reality and put into place a process. You know, right after the decision was made, when asked about refunds, the president said something to the effect of, oh, I'm sure this will just play out in the courts. So the fact that they are putting up a form on Monday is a good thing, but they aren't making it easy for people. And I find that just unacceptable because this is something they chose to do to everybody, right? This is not a favor they were doing to the American people. They were imposing a tax on everything coming into the country. And then when the Supreme Court says it's illegal, they're saying, well, now you need to come ask for it and present records and all these things.
And I'm sure they just have the money sitting there in a bank account somewhere, you know, at a Fifth Third or a Chase Bank. But Michael, you know, we're talking about at home right now, but I want to take it to a global scale. You mentioned it before as far as China. How does these tariffs have had major effects on our relationship with other countries? I mean, and I'm not even talking about like Canada. I'm talking about countries where he is praising like China and Russia, their leaders, but then throwing tariffs in their faces at the same time. that again brings a sort of inconsistency that I can't imagine these leaders who I don't want to get in the room with some of these guys. They don't respect us or care. They think, well, we'll get around it somehow. I mean, how is this affecting us on the global stage as well?
Well, I think what we see is not great evidence of strategy here. The foundations of what the president is doing, and it's something that the Biden administration tried to grapple with as well, and that is this. A lot of what we need is made in countries that are either not our friends or in places at risk. So we get a lot of the vast majority of semiconductor chips, which are going to everything, not just your computers, but into your cars, into your phones, all kinds of devices, are made in Taiwan. And now Taiwan is an allied country, but Taiwan is in a risky area. And the Chinese have made more threats against the future independence of that country. And so there's a recognition, hey, we should figure out how to make more of this in the United States. And so the Biden administration worked with Republicans in Congress to pass the Bipartisan CHIPS Act, which is putting more money into building a domestic semiconductor industry. So those are legitimate concerns. And so there should be a patient strategy to strengthen our supply chain so we are not so vulnerable to the fact that a lot of the metals we need are in Russia and China and things like that. But in order to do that, you need allies. You need friends to help you have that kind of strategy, because the fact that we are vulnerable also means that countries like France and the UK and Italy and Spain and just Japan, Korea, all these countries that are democracies all share the same anxiety. Instead of trying to organize those friendly countries to have a shared industrial strategy where we're trying to make sure that we're more resilient in the case of a future pandemic, we're not relying upon these dictatorships for the materials that we need. Instead, just went on his roof and just fired a gun in every single direction, put a tariff on everything that walked. And that ends up wasting a lot of goodwill that we could have been using to actually have a plan to build more of these things at home. I think a perfect case study of this that's just similar, not on the exact topic, but shows a lack of strategy, is that, you know, in the case of Iran, the Iranians closed the Straits of Hormuz, which cut off 20% of the oil that the world gets. And in order to help deal with that, the president removed sanctions against the Iranians themselves, enabling them to make money while they were being attacked, removed sanctions on Russian oil, which counter to our strategy, our commitments in Ukraine. And so this is someone who's sort of flying by the seat of his pants here, and it's not really helping our country or making it stronger or bringing costs down.
Michael, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, and we liked your egg choices too. So have a great night. Michael Negron, thank you so much for your insights on tariffs. When we come back, it's the Nightlight Movie Club, and we're going to read some of your texts after the news. This is Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach in Nightlight on Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.